nothing that I gotta prove. You think your words will make me black and blue, but I think I'm pretty with these old boots on. I think it's funny when I drink too much. You try and change me, you can go to hell, 'cause I don't wanna be nobody else. I like the chip I got in my front teeth, and I got bad tattoos you won't believe. So kick out the jams, kick up the soul, pour another glass of that rock and roll, turn up the band, find the hole, gonna lose control tonight. What do you want?
Okay, Monday, we are ready for you. And lots to do. It's a busy show for busy people. Polly, are you up for it? It's a busy show for busy people, Polly. Look,
I'm a pretty busy guy, but I think I can fit the show into my schedule
thank
today.
Thank you. I appreciate you showing up the way you do each and every day, Polly. I really do. So we'll have Canada's dating coach, Chantel Hyde, coming in. After 9:30, and that always goes super quickly. And she's full of good ideas. Even when you hear some of her ideas and you're like, this is not a good idea, because, you know, that whole no kissing rule, people get upset about that one for 3 months. But I have some things I want to ask her, because I found this list. It says, if you do these things, it's your fault you're still single. So I'm going to run some of them by her and see what she says about that. Okay, where's producer James? Is he in there? He's about to get mad at me. What else is new? Okay, we were going to talk about, you know, country music star Dallas Smith and Canadian pop star Drake calling out the crap behavior of their fans, which we'll still do. But producer James, this is all your fault, P.S. I'm going to blame shift here, because you surprised me on Friday with the beautiful people from Oktoberfest, who I love so much. And we had teased, so we went into all that and had a great time with them, and Uncle Hans was here. But remember we teased about the two stormtroopers, the two people who are going to be stormtroopers, the celebrities who are going to be stormtroopers? He doesn't even know. He's shaking. He's like, I wasn't listening to that part. Sometimes, Jennifer, when you speak, I just have to tune out for a little while. So I think we have to do that, because you're going to like this one. Look, say I told you he's going to be mad at me. We'll talk about it later. because we talked about cameos and the best cameos of all time. And you guys sent me some amazing emails about the best cameos of all time. So I feel like we got to get to that. So we will, provided producer James doesn't shut this whole show down before we can make it to that point. So we continue with our spotlight on women around Waterloo region. That's why the lovely folks from Oktoberfest and from Rogers Women of the Year came in on Friday. Margot Jones was here, who's the president of Oktoberfest. And Carrie Wilkie was here, too, who is in charge of rounding up all things Rogers Women of the Year related. She's the director of that committee. And then Uncle Hans was here as well. So after we had the Rogers Women of the Year in early October, we decided that we were going to focus on some of the nominees, some of the winners, because there was so much amazing talent happening that we needed people to know about. And so we continue that today with our spotlight on women around Waterloo region. And Carrie Mulrooney joins us this morning. Carrie is an exemplary female leader in our regional business. Community, and you're right here in the studio.
Yes, I am.
Thank you for coming in.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Okay, so super glad to have you. And you're first of all, any relation? Do people ask you that all the time about Mulrooney?
No relation.
No relation.
Two O's. That's one O.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which I can see, but the other people can't. And do you get that a lot?
Oh, all the time.
Do you?
Yeah.
And is it because
it's my married name, but I'm not related. Okay. If anybody might be, it might be my husband, but no.
But
no relation.
No relation.
No relation.
That can work for you and against you, depending on how you vote.
Yeah.
So we want to, and I actually just got a text from one of our mutual friends. Where is this? From Dawn. Dawn Gilders,
yeah.
From Snap.
She's a sweetheart. She's a good friend and good partner in business and everything. So,
okay, so it says here that you had humble beginnings, Carrie. So before we get into all of the success, which of course is where we want to end, that's the end goal here. I always think that's interesting when that's in your bio, because everybody wants to hear a story. So first of all, what is your business? And then I want to go back to those humble beginnings.
Okay, so our business, the name of our business is Mulrooney Associates Incorporated. And we service small business, primarily just small business, small, medium-sized businesses. We look after all their bookkeeping, their accounting, their payroll, their tax, everything from sole props, corporations, to not-for-profit charities and all that.
Because I think that probably, you know, a lot of us have that dream, that entrepreneurial spirit that you think, this is my passion. I want to open, you know, a small business. I want to run a restaurant. I want to have an art, you know, gallery or place where kids can come do pottery, anything like that. But often for us creative types, and I'm talking to myself right now, the stuff that's so daunting is all of a sudden, you need to be in charge of things like you just mentioned, payroll, taxes, all of that kind of stuff that a lot of small business minds, they don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So that's kind of where you saw that niche.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was something that I love to do.
You love numbers.
Helping businesses, watching them grow, watching them change and develop, and being a part of that is really, really, exciting.
So when I asked you about those humble beginnings, you had a little smile on your face. Is it one of those stories where you can look back now and laugh?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah, and I can tell you a little bit about that,
yes,
Jennifer.
Please.
So, back, well, I would say it was back in 1999 is when I decided that I wanted to work for myself. I was doing bookkeeping and accounting. I was in the field, in the employment industry, working for companies, and just thought, you know, this just isn't for me. So I went out on a little adventure, and I gathered as many small business clients as I could, and some being friends, parents that had businesses and stuff to really help me out. And I started off servicing all those small, a lot of sole proprietors, which was great. And it just kind of grew. And I realized that there was a real air of desperation out there at that time for good quality bookkeeping services, because I'd seen so many businesses have so many struggles and challenges and get into issues with CRA and Canada Revenue Agency.
Yeah.
And just have, you know, not good things happening. So I thought there's got to be something out there. Like, there is lots of, you know, CPA firms and legal firms. And why is there not bookkeeping? Like, why is this industry not what it needs to be? Because this is the most important part, the fundamental part of people operating their businesses, having, you know, meeting compliance and making sure that they're making deadlines and things are being done properly.
So that's a lot, like you say, for people to, when you have that dream and you're kind of chasing that dream, when you mentioned the acronym CRA, all of us kind of go, you know, because you're right. It's the technicalities and the fine print and the detail. It can be absolutely exhausting. Yeah. And I would imagine sometimes that could actually kill a dream when somebody's like, I would love to have my business, but this is too much. Yeah. And I don't know how to do both of those things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So our focus is to help our clients, you know, reach the goals and succeed in their business by looking after this for them.
So have you been in Kitchener-Waterloo for your entire business career?
I have. I've born and raised in KW. So I know a lot of, you know, I know a lot of businesses. I've seen a lot of businesses develop and grow and get to where they are. And when we talk about the humble beginnings part, I think for me, I kind of, like you said, I had that little smile on my face because I worked out of a home-based office for 14 years.
Wow.
And by the time we moved into our office space, the building that we had purchased in Kitchener, we had 5 people and one of us working up at the kitchen table with the bird and the dog and the cat. And, you know, so a lot of crazy things happened and fun things. We were very close. We worked out of about maybe 400 square feet in total with filing cabinets and paperwork and boxes and everything. So.
So at the same time that you're chasing this business dream, you know, you are married, kids.
Yep. Yes.
And so the whole kit and caboodle is in the same location, which is a lot.
Everything is happening. And I remember it got near the end of like, okay, I think we need to start making a shift here, because I was home all the time. I was sitting in my home. I was home with the kids. They were there. They were upstairs and everything was happening exactly. I had staff in my bathroom, people in my kitchen. And finally I said, okay, that's it. We're done. We're going to make a change here. And it was the best thing we ever did. So
when it comes to this particular award, when you're a nominee for the Rogers Women of the Year Award, I always like to ask people, how did that happen to you? Do you know who it was that nominated you? Is there kind of a story along with that, or has this person kept their secret?
There's a bit of a story. We were actually approached by somebody in the industry who knew our business very well, wasn't sure exactly how to get that whole nomination through for us, and approached my partner, which is my husband, Sean. within the business and said, or actually, first it was my receptionist. They called and said, hey, you know, we really want to see Carrie nominated for this award. And then it went into, you know, down the line. And then they connected with my husband, my partner, and he said, yeah, absolutely. We'll do that nomination. So
did he keep it a secret from you, or did he?
At the beginning he did, but I needed to know because there were things I had to actually give him information to be able to submit. Right. So I did know, yeah, about the nomination eventually.
What do you think is important about being a good female business owner and boss? And mm-hmm. and do you think there are differences when it comes to, I mean, you can speak as a female, obviously, but when it comes to women in leadership roles?
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think's important?
I think what's important is a few things. One, I feel for myself is be yourself. Be who you really are. And that was somebody I wasn't when I was employed and working for other people. Follow your gut is a big one. And there's been lots of times where I'm like, yeah, something's just not sitting right here. And then, you know, later down the road, I'm like, mm-hmm, yep, that made total sense. I should have done that, shouldn't have done that. And, you know, and just accepting your failures is a big thing. Failures are successes. And, you know, it's okay. You know what? If you made a mistake, if something doesn't work out right, you learn from that. And that's one of the things I've always really instilled into my team as well. And you know, always get your facts straight before you do anything.
Yeah.
Is really important.
The accountability, I think, is really interesting these days, because you see so many people in business situations try to kind of hide a mistake or dance around something or deny. And I think that's kind of the hardest way to go about it. You're right. Yeah. If you just say, you know what, I screwed up, I messed up, and I learned my lesson, mm-hmm. and you own it. Mm-hmm. There's so many different ways for that to go and to proceed into. But when you deny and don't acknowledge and don't own it, I mean, that really is a big stonewall for your own career and for your boss.
Yeah, integrity is a big thing. And you know what? And people sense it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. You can kind of smell it.
Yeah.
Okay, so if people want to get in touch with you, Carrie Mulrooney, if they need your help, if they're listening to you say, you know, tell this story, and they need you in their lives, mm-hmm. what do they do?
Well, we have an amazing website that has a lot of information about us. There's lots of contact information on that. We are on Facebook and Twitter, so you can follow us on those social media platforms. And our office is on Lancaster Street, 335 Lancaster Street West in Kitchener. So just pop on in and meet the team, and we'll be happy to help.
Thank you for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks. It's so nice to see you, Carrie Mulrooney, KW Oktoberfest Rogers Women of the Year nominee. It is a spotlight. It is the spotlight on women around Waterloo Region. We do it every Monday, 9:17. Coming up next, the Royal Stormtroopers. Oh, have I said too much? It was not a very good Star Wars person like that. Paul, no, Polly, wrong guy. It's the wrong guy, I think.
Hey, I know as much as about Star Wars as it sounds like you do. I know nothing.
Polly, we've played
this game
before.
The guy who breathes deeply, I believe, is Darth Vader,
that's right.
If I'm not mistaken. That's all I know.
He's the daddy of the stormtroopers or something like that. I don't know, something like that. We're going to talk about it next on 570 News. This is the Jennifer Campbell Show.
News travels quickly, but 570 News breaking news alerts travel even faster. Get the biggest stories sent right to your mobile device. Brought to you by Libro Credit Union. Own your life. Sign up today and get breaking news alerts from 570news.com.
Okay, we are back, and I'm just catching up on Twitter here. Are people nice on Twitter today? Mostly nice. I think they are. Yep. Okay, good. I'm supposed to do that during the commercial break, but I was trying to say goodbye to the lovely Carrie Mulrooney, who joined us as one of our Spotlight on Women nominees from Oktoberfest Rogers Women of the Year, as we do that every Monday. Okay, so this kind of caught my eye last week. It's no secret that I love the Royals very much. I got it from my mama. And so, that's bad, Gwen Stefani. Sorry. Prince Harry and Prince William are going to play stormtroopers in Star Wars. Polly, Prince Harry and Prince William are going to be stormtroopers in Star Wars. They make appearance. They make an appearance as stormtroopers in The Last Jedi. This is from The Hollywood Reporter. But nobody will know who they are because, I mean, even you and I know, Polly, that stormtroopers have, you know, masks on. So you're not going to, this is solely for their entertainment, Polly, not even for ours.
Is this the movie that's in, isn't there a Star Wars movie in theaters right now?
The Last Jedi.
Or is it coming out?
I think we're just days away from it.
So this is the one that's about to be released then?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah. They said that the shooting the scene was amazing, a great experience. Yeah, December 15th, Polly. It comes out December 15th. People are already buying, of course, tickets to see it because... Oh, and did you hear about the... I think we talked about this, Polly, on our other show on Country 106.7 before you abandoned me and left me with PJ. I mean, we can talk about that part later, but... So there's this, like, conspiracy theory. So what was the last Star Wars? The last Star Wars with Rey was called... The Force Awakens. And then this one's called The Last Jedi. So there was this internet conspiracy that that's actually one sentence. The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi. So Rey is The Last Jedi. And anyway, I don't feel like I'm spoiling anything for you because I actually don't know. That's just an internet thing that I read. So we started talking about cameos. I was asking you guys about cameos. And got an email from Danny last week. Best cameos of all time in movies. You got one for us? Star 570, 519-570-2545. I need to know about the best cameos of all time. Now, Danny sent me this email. And it reads, Jennifer, hands down winner for most cameos in a film has to be Robert Altman's 1992 film, The Player. Polly, have you seen this? This is a game.
I've never even heard of it. Is that bad?
No, I don't think it is. I haven't seen it either. But listen to this. This is unbelievable. This is from the Internet Movie Database, and Danny sends it to me. The film has more Oscar-winning actors and actresses in the cast than any other movie in history. There are 12 Oscar winners. Cher, James Coburn, Louise Fletcher, Whoopi Goldberg, Joel Grey, Angelica Houston, Jack Lemmon, Marley Matlin, Tim Robbins, Julia Roberts, Susan Sarandon, and Rod Steiger.
And they're all playing themselves, though, right? Because that's what a cameo is. You're
exactly.
Not playing a character.
Yeah.
You're playing yourself.
Oh, wait. Then I guess that Prince Harry and Prince William aren't making a cameo because they're pretending to be stormtroopers.
Yeah.
I mixed up the definition
of
cameo.
Maybe I caught a loophole in your argument.
You did, Polly. You caught a loophole. So they're not cameos, but they're famous people in a movie that has really nothing to do with royalty. It's a bit of a segue. Bit of a leap, Polly. Follow me down the rabbit hole, would you? Okay, but then, in this movie, that's 13 Oscar winners, including the producer, director, Sidney Pollack, who makes a cameo appearance. Then there are... Other actors and actresses who received Oscar nominations. Karen Black, Gary Busey, Peter Falk, Jeff Goldblum, Elliot Gould, Sally Kirkland, Burt Reynolds, Nick Nolte, and Lily Tomlin. There are 65 cameos in the movie The Player. The very first shot of the film is 8 minutes long, and it's worth the price of admission. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Danny, thank you for sending me that, because now I would like to add that to my must-watch Netflix list. So here come... Oh, here they come. I knew that. I knew you guys were going to do this one. What about Bob Barker and Adam Sandler in... What was that called?
Happy Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore. I always mix up my Adam Sandler movies, so I'm glad that you did that. Yeah, that was wonderful. I mean, some foul language out of Bob Barker's mouth, but that's why it was hilarious, right? That's why it was hilarious. Tim Robbins in Anchorman. Tim Robbins seems to like doing cameo appearances. You saw Anchorman, Paul.
I did. I don't remember Tim Robbins in it. Is that...
The Legend of Ron Burgundy. Yep. They were, Tim Robbins made a cameo. But this is a list of the best surprise ones. Martin Scorsese in Taxi Driver. See, but Polly, he doesn't, they are using cameo like that it's just like a surprise. So you don't have to play yourself.
Well, those are the, the best cameos are ones that you don't know coming.
Yeah, and the ones where somebody, when Bob Barker is just playing himself, right? You know what I mean? If Bob Barker's just playing himself, that makes it all the more entertaining, doesn't it? Okay, let's see. A cameo role or cameo appearance is a brief appearance or voice part of a known person in a work of the performing arts, typically unnamed, or appearing as themselves. They're generally small roles. Okay, so I feel like the definition of cameo is a little bit fluid here. All right. Any you got, Polly? So anyway, Martin Scorsese in Taxi Driver, he kind of put himself in that movie, kind of like Alfred Hitchcock used to do, right? There's something about Mary. Oh, this is a good one, too. Brett Favre. Favre?
Yes, that would be a good one. That'd be a cameo for sure.
Because he plays himself, right?
Right, and you don't see it coming. She's like, oh, yeah, my ex-boyfriend, Brett. Then you find out it was Brett Favre that she was dating all that time.
Polly saw that one. What about Austin Powers? Did you see Austin Powers?
I did, Goldmember? I did, but because I haven't seen any of the James Bond movies, I didn't really find it entertaining.
You didn't find it entertaining?
No.
Mike Myers can get anybody to show up in one of his movies, right? Remember Alice Cooper was in Wayne's World. Charlton Heston was in Wayne's World 2. And numerous folks in the two first Austin Powers movies, the first two films. But the third and final one, he got Tom Cruise to come and be in the movie. How much do they get paid? Or is it just, come make a cameo and you can eat from the craft services truck all day long? Is that what it is? Anyway, that was fun. And I can't wait to watch that movie. Thanks for sending that to me, Danny. I can't wait to watch that movie. The Player, 1992. Okay, Polly, put it on your Netflix list. Okay, Canada's dating coach is coming in here. She is going to answer all of your dating woes. She's going to help you. Where'd my list go? Because I liked that list. Reasons why you're still single. I think it's just a title that makes me laugh. But we're going to check with her and see if she agrees with that list. In the meantime, I'm going to find the list. And we're going to go to the 570 newsroom to get an update. This is the Jennifer Campbell Show.
You can watch dash cam videos from Russia all day. Or put some actual news in your news feed. Click on 570news.com. Or go to your app store and download the 570 News app.
Okay, we are back. It is 9:33, and we love Mondays when our dear Chantel Hyde joins us, Canada's dating coach. She's got all the answers.
So much goodness.
So much goodness.
Oh,
all the answers. Well, maybe not all the answers to everything, but definitely the matters of the heart.
You know what? Right? I might not have it today, but I'll have it tomorrow.
she's a sociologist and a researcher by nature.
Yes.
So she'll figure it out for you. What was I telling my girlfriends? Wasn't the mommy guilt? Was it? I don't know. Because you know how I love to tell all the mommies about that one, right? Mm-hmm. About the mommy guilt. It was something else about from how we remember, this is, you taught me this too, how we remember bad things. Natural human tendencies are to remember bad things.
A natural tendency is for your brain to stay in a negative state, to hold on to negative occurrences, because it is an evolutionary biological function. If it hurt us when we ate it, when we picked it up, we need it to remember, because the next time it might kill us.
Right.
And the positive things, just let go. Just enjoy it in the moment, and then your brain lets it go. And we can rewire our brain now, because it's not such a dangerous world. This isn't going to kill me. Neither is anything else in this room.
Nope.
Except, you know, maybe you. If I make you mad.
Never been.
I don't know, Jennifer. I haven't seen your Hulk side yet, but.
It's true, right? She's rare. She's rare. But yeah, I was talking about that, about how, it's a great lesson for kids too. Because here's, my kids lead off so many disagreements with each other with, you always. And we're trying to kind of break them out of that to remember, no, that's not always, and explain to them why our brains kind of default like that. So through meditation, again.
Well, you want to, in order to, like consciousness is what rewires your brain. So meditation rewires your brain to be more calm, because you're consciously calming it down. And so you're retraining it. You're recreating neural channels that say, hey, chill. Now, in order to be more positive, you have to consciously do positives inside your brain, which is why you want to do 100 days of writing three things that you're grateful for. And it's the days that it's difficult to come up with those things that you get to the end of the day and you say, I haven't done my three things I'm grateful for yet. And you literally spend minutes going inside of yourself, digging deep to find something that you're grateful for. And it's those moments that rewires your brain.
So you don't, you know, kind of naturally lead with, oh, everything is terrible, life hates me, everybody hates me, this is awful, guess I'll go eat worms. You kind of switch that, like you talk about those paths that you switch.
If that's where your mind is going, catch yourself, realize what's going on in your mind, and then redirect what would be the opposite of that.
And it's such a simple concept. I mean, it makes so much sense when it's broken down like that to you. It makes so much sense, but it's actually probably the dichotomy in that is that it's really something that's not easy to do. You have to catch yourself. Like you say, you have to catch yourself every time you're doing it.
In the beginning, it's a million times a day. It's minute by minute, sometimes second by second, because you know, we have become unconscious creatures. You say it's a difficult thing. Well, why would it be so difficult? I mean, we're looking at monitors all day, every day. Why isn't this kind of information being flashed at us? And that's because when we do look at the media has two things in mind, sex and fear, because those are our two main driving forces, procreation and survival. And so they flash sex and fear. And so all we're doing is staying into highly agitated and negative states.
You fascinate the pants off me just every time. Okay, what are we doing today? What do we want to do today?
Well, do you want to start with yours or do you?
Cause no, you go right
okay,
ahead. You go right
what
ahead.
I brought.
You're the boss.
So I did an article for Global recently and it just blew up. And it was basically old-fashioned ideals that still apply today. And you know, my take on that was old-fashioned is really just common sense.
Okay, so are we talking about the dating process? Like, is this for both men and women?
Is this specifically for a relationship. This is once you've established that relationship with that person. Mm-hmm. How do you make it comfortable? How do you make it loving? How do you make it peaceful? What are the little things that you need to remember every single day that's going to have a great relationship develop between you and your partner?
Okay. So we're past the no kissing for 3 months. We're into the relationship.
We're into it. You're coming home to me, mama.
All right. Coming home. And this is how we're going to end. This is kind of like your traditional take on
this. This is the traditional take.
All right. This
is the day-to-day things to keep in mind in order for you and your partner to be happy with each other.
Before we continue, I want to tell you guys that the phone numbers are *570 or 519-570-2545. You have a beautiful, lovely, open resource here to use in Chantel, who is Canada's dating coach. You can email me too, and those will pop up right away. Jennifer@570news.com. Anything you want to know about, you know, a good relationship, a bad relationship, no relationship, old relationships, new relationships, whatever it is, we are here to help. And you absolutely can use fake names. Yes. If you need to do that, absolutely can do that. Okay. I want to hear this. I want to hear the traditional stuff because, you know, the feminist in me is a little bit already like,
we got to write a feminist book. Like,
okay. Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, I'll just spew and run my mouth and you will write because you can do that and I can't. Yeah. Okay.
All right. So be fair. That's my first one. So my number one relationship rule, it is not fair to ask for anything you're not willing to do first. So be fair in your requests. Be conscious of what you're asking for. And then ask yourself, am I doing this first? And if not, then go back a couple steps. Start applying what it is that you want. And then you can ask for it. So for instance, I want you to be less combative. I don't want you to come home and be so stressed out and picking fights with me. Okay, what's your state of mind? What are you doing? Are you calm? Are you reactive? Can you create that state of mind and then invite your partner in? So whatever it is that you're asking for, do it first.
You've talked to me about this and taught me that this is kind of, it's called mirroring. So that you're kind of right, creating that, you know, this is what I want, so I'm going to do it. So hopefully that person is, because we kind of mimic each other's behaviors, don't
we? Monkeys designed to imitate each other. We are.
And pick up. You talk about, you know, energy and in a room. I mean, you can feel it. You can feel it right away, someone's energy. And perhaps, like you say, trying to shift that starts from you.
100%.
Yeah.
You know, with my husband. We fought a lot, and we would fight a lot about the past, because the past just, it kept turning around in our minds, and we kept associating the negative feelings that we had today with things that had hurt us in the past. And so I started meditating. I put myself in the present moment. Every time I found myself spinning in the past, I go, okay, wait a second, what is happening right now? And put myself back into the present. And in that way, I stopped feeling crappy about the past. I stopped pointing fingers at him going, I'm hurt today because of what you did then. And so I stopped hurting. I started feeling good. I started feeling optimistic about the future because I wasn't looking backwards anymore, and forwards was looking pretty damn good because of the state of mind I was putting myself in. And then when my husband was coming home and saying, you know, I'm in fight mode because I'm feeling hurt about the past, and you did this and you did that. And I'd say, when was the last time you remember me doing that? And I'd make him think. He'd go in his brain. He'd say, well, it's been 3 or 4 months. And I say, okay, the best predictor of future behavior is past behavior. And so now you can predict going forward, this will be my new pattern because I've created that pattern in the past now.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to stop when somebody's kind of like wants in it though, right?
But you keep reminding them, this is where I am.
Yeah.
Join me here.
Yeah.
I'm moving forward. Move forward with me. And let them know, if you don't, that's your choice, but yeah, I will leave you behind.
Easier to dig than it is to climb, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We have phone calls coming in. Polly, you want me to take a break, or do you want to get to the call? Take the call now? Take the call now. Okay, we're going to take the call right now, and then we're going to come back to Chantel teaching us how to be happy where we are in our relationships right now. Star 570 519 570 2545 works. You can email Jennifer at 570news.com as well. And we say good morning to Paul. Hi, Paul.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, well, I think Chantel's going to be able to change your tune a little bit.
What can we do for you, Paul?
In this day and age, where does one actually go to meet people? Because these so-called dating websites, well, we all know the truth about Ashley Madison, that you know, they had somebody writing all these profiles. Are there any websites or any dating sites that actually have real people on them, and not just computer-generated profiles in an attempt to rip people off for their money?
Is this one of your number one questions, Chantel,
yes,
about where people meet people?
Yeah.
So, Paul, just before we start, though, I want to say Ashley Madison was the cheating dating site, right? So they were making up female profiles to entice men because there was...
All the dating sites are the same thing. They're in it for profit, and if there's no females on there to attract males to the website, they're not going to make any profit. So you look at some of these dating websites, and when you see this, 5'9" blonde model on there that says she's on her own, you know that it's phony.
Hmm. Okay. Let's go to Paul. Stay right there. Let's go to Chantel.
Okay. You know, when they did some testing and were sort of testing results, communication levels, basically of reality, OkCupid was a site that stood slightly above the rest. I do agree with you that there's a whole lot of fakeness going on these sites. And women, you know, you'll come across profiles where the women haven't even been on in ages, but they keep them there. They don't take them off because, like you say, the women bring in the men. And so they do everything they can to ensure there is a high volume of women on their sites. And there's a large number that are inactive. And you know, for sure, the ones that, not all of them, but the ones that seem too good to be true usually are. You do want to be careful. You do want to, you know, go for somebody that appeals to you as a human being, not somebody that appeals to you as an ideal. That's a way to try and weed through that is, you know, keep in mind who you are and what you're looking for and what would be your match. But one thing that I do say to people when they say, where can I find good people? And I say, everywhere, every single place you're walking in this world. Jennifer, there's a male right behind us, you know, like there's females, there's in this office, there are people everywhere.
There's a good point there. So I'm walking down the street.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I pass by somebody, I say, you know, hello, good morning, whatever. And that's all I'm saying is hello, good morning, and I'm continuing on. Okay? So I go into one of these dating websites, and I see somebody who looks interesting. I say, hello, how are you? You know, how's things with you today? And you don't even get a response.
Yeah.
And any place out, human decency says that if somebody acknowledges you, somebody says hello to you, you say hello back, even if it's just that. Nobody is expecting that I'm going to send a message to somebody and we're going to get married tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
All you're doing is saying hello. But now, I don't know if it works the same way for men or not, but if somebody messages a male, would common courtesy would say we should at least say hello, you know. We aren't making a commitment.
Yeah.
And yet,
so hang on, Paul.
Try and get somebody to say hello.
So, yeah, and I don't disagree with you, Paul, that, you know, manners and kindness would teach us that you should do that. But don't forget, the vetting process for women is a completely different animal than it is for men because we're approached differently. So you're right. Sometimes the good guys get, you know, left in the weeds because we've been, you know, approached once you've made that hello back or offered that hello back, sometimes things unravel very quickly into places that we don't want to get. And I've never been on a dating site.
Yeah.
I'm spewing out the stuff my girlfriends tell me. But Paul, I just want to ask Chantel one thing. And Paul, I wonder if you wonder this too. Chantel, are the dating sites where you make an investment, like the one OkCupid or Match.com, do those seem to be perhaps, like to me, that tells me you've made a literal investment in this. Is that a better place to start than the free ones?
So the paid ones, you mean?
The paid ones, yes, yes.
Yeah.
I think they're all paid in the end.
I think, that's called the POF one. That
right,
seems
Plenty of Fish is absolutely free.
It's free.
And, you know, it doesn't matter if you pay or not. What matters is timing. So the right one could be on a paid one, could be on a free one.
Yeah.
Because people will go to a paid one thinking, you know what, I'm going to start somewhere where people have to pay because there's going to be a higher quality of people. They find that they're not meeting somebody who matches them, regardless of whether or not somebody else is paying or they're paying, and they'll move on to a free site. And so people will jump around from paid to free, from free to paid. So you never know. And so I don't feel like it really matters if you pay or not. I think what matters is, are you putting in the time and are you staying in a good state of mind? And are you also touching base with people out in the real world? Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Don't count simply on online dating. But if I can address what Paul said about women online, and then I want to give him some advice about meeting women out in the real world and being memorable and really sort of maybe hopefully drawing them in. So when it comes to women online, Paul, one thing that you and all the males need to realize is the volume of attention that women get is overwhelming, and it literally gets some women offline because there's so many men that are saying hello and then getting angry because they're not getting that hello back.
Well, you know, you say that, and yet you see these same profiles, you know, online today, you know, online yesterday, online now, and whatnot. And my favorite is the ones that post on there and say, where are all the good guys?
Yeah.
Well, the good guys have sent you a message, and you just totally ignored them.
What if you're not their match? What if they looked at your profile and they said to themselves, this isn't what I'm looking for? Do they owe you anything?
And nobody owes anybody anything, but common courtesy was just to say, hey, you know.
I don't disagree with you on that. But what I'd like you to do, just for yourself, just so you stay in a positive state of mind, is to release expectations. I don't want to discourage you from reaching out to every woman that gets your fancy online and sending out that hello. But with each one that you press send on, I'd like for you to just release your expectations because we do attract the vibration that we're at. And I want you to attract a woman who's open and just happy. And she's going through the world going, you know what? What comes my way that's positive, I take it with open arms. And what isn't coming my way, I'm just going to release that because that's okay. It's not supposed to be part of my life anyways. But what I'd like you to do once you do that online is send all those hellos and release your expectations and stay in your positive state of mind is take that state of mind, go out into the real world, pick up a couple roses and go walking out in places that you like to walk at. And I want you to tell yourself, you know what? I'm going to say hello to two women today, but I'm going to do it in a way that no one's ever done before. And instead of saying, hello, how are you? And wanting or making it seem like I'm looking for something in return, like they need to respond to me, I'm going to attach my email to that rose. I'm going to go up to them and I'm going to say, you caught my fancy today. And I just want to let you know, you have a beautiful glow about you. And I want to give you this rose. And if you feel a spark with me, I want you to send me an email and we'll get together and we'll go for a walk or go for a coffee, whatever you like to do. And just leave them with that and let them think about, you know what, that was different. He came at me and he wasn't expecting anything. He wasn't demanding anything. He let me know there was a quality about me that he saw from a distance and that made me feel good. And that good taste in their mind might just get them reaching out to you.
And maybe they turn that email address over to their husband, boyfriend.
Wait a second. Maybe they turn it over to a friend of theirs.
Oh, maybe.
And say, this incredible gentleman came across my path today.
Yeah, you got to be in the right frame of mind to accept that, too. Paul, I'm so sorry. We have to run. I have to go. I'm 4 minutes late for a break already, and Polly's arm's going to fall off over there. So I know that Chantel's given you lots of great advice there. Does that really work? Because I don't know if I would love that, Chantel. I'm going to be honest with you. I think that I would be like, too bold for me.
Right.
But you're right. Maybe somebody else loves that kind of gesture so I could pass it along.
In a bar, I get a lot of demands of attention.
Of course.
When somebody just drops a nugget and walks away, I feel great.
Okay. We are going to come back with more of the traditional ways to keep your love happy.
Happy.
After this on 570 News.
The power, the energy from a crowd. It's unmistakable. The ones who feel it the most. The Kitchener Rangers.
Busting down the middle. He scores! Up and out!
The Kitchener Rangers play here. 570 News.
Okay. We are back. And as per usual, this is our pattern. Chantel and I get lost in this half hour with you guys. And Chantel Hyde is Canada's dating coach. So before we spoke to Paul, and I hope he's going to be, like you say, put into this process what he wants to get out of it. Like that energy shift is really, is really monumental. But before that, we were talking about the traditional ways to keep your love happy and be fair, which is, again, one of those concepts that sounds really easy, but if you want it, you have to make sure you're doing it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So the next one is be predictable. Our brains crave predictable things because when it can't predict what's around the corner, now you get what's called the fear of the unknown. And so what happens often is when we cannot predict the mood that our partner is going to be in, when we don't know if there's going to be a lion at the gate, when we get home, then we start getting into stress mode. What's my partner going to be like? Are they going to be really stressed out today? Are they going to lash out at me? Am I going to come through the door and the first thing I'm going to get hit with is you didn't do this and you didn't make a blah, blah, blah. So if no matter how your day went, you can greet your partner with a smile and a hug and a kiss every single time, or even if the practicality is I might be in a bad mood when you see me, but I'm going to catch myself and say, sorry about that. I was in a bad mood because something stressful happened today or, you know, whatever it was. And you can take responsibility for your bad moods. So either you're always predictably nice when you're greeted, or you're always predictably apologetic when you're not so nice when you greet your partner. Because then, you know, at least if you do greet them like the lion at the door, then they're like, oh, you know what, that's not me, it's them, and they're going to come around eventually. That it's when you're coming home and you know what's going to happen, it puts you in a more soothing tone. It makes you feel better on a soul level. And I asked my husband one day, I'm like, how happy does it make you knowing that I'm going to be the same person every day when you come home? He goes, I wouldn't say happy, I'd say comforted. Mm-hmm. And isn't it nice to go home and have that feeling of comfort start to set in and your day washes away and you leave that behind?
Yeah.
And you're coming through the door you know, already with an open heart and an open mind, knowing you're just going to be loved when you step through that door.
I love, one of my favorite things to do, we have about 60 seconds left, but one of my favorite things to do is to meet him at the door. Mm-hmm. I love meeting him at the door, which sounds totally June Cleaver, but it just sets a tone.
Yeah.
I'm excited you're back.
And this is the foundation for a great relationship. Some people work themselves up before the partner gets home. I'm going to address this. I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to lay in on him or her about this or that. And so they get angry before their partner comes in, and that's what they meet them with, is the anger. So switch that around. Meet them with more peace, more love.
And that's something you can do easily, like today, starting today.
Absolutely.
That one.
Absolutely.
Just start there. We're out of time. Do you believe it?
I do.
Look at Polly.
Because it went fast.
It goes fast.
I know.
We have fun. Chantel Hyde is Canada's dating coach. You can find her all over the interwebs, including places where you can go buy her books, get her to sign her books, and all kinds of wonderful stuff. What's the website, Chantel?
CanadasDatingCoach.com.
Thank you.
You can also find me at Bayview this weekend doing another book signing.
Lulu's always with her, too.
Always with me.
The baby dog goes
She's
with her.
She's the star.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. We'll see you soon. Thanks, Polly. Sorry, Polly. 570 News continues with Mike Farwell coming up after this.